Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud is sponsored by the AAIE Institute for International School Leadership. Preparing educators for the unique challenge of international school leadership through online courses led by international school leaders. Learn more at AAIEinstitute.org.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in.
Observing student learning production behaviors. I made a big switch in my focus quite a few years back that changed a lot of the work I do with coaching and facilitating teacher conversations. And that switch was when I moved my attention, moved my observation from being focused so strongly on what teachers were doing in the classroom to focusing instead on what it was that students were doing. A recognition on my part that it's the student behavior that produces the learning, and the task of the teachers to figure out what particular learning production behaviors she needs to get from the students, and then identify the best way to go about getting the students engaged in those behaviors. As I first began having these conversations, I would talk about what student behaviors we needed. And teachers tended to keep taking that conversation back to looking at classroom management behaviors. And those are important, all the classroom management behaviors. But I was looking much deeper as what is the specific behavior? What is it that the student does to cause learning to happen? And after quite a few rounds of looking for best ways to describe it, and paying a lot of attention to the performing arts folks, the athletic coaches, I realized that it was the student engaging in behaviors that produce the learning. So in the case of the athletes, it's the behaviors that produce the skill set. The musician, it's behaviors that produce the ability to play the piece of music. And so I carried that word, student production behavior, into my conversations with teachers. Joining me today on the podcast is Tracy Fasick. And Tracy is the Director of Curriculum and Instruction at the Manheim Central School District. And Tracy and I have had the opportunity to work together over several years now. And a lot of our work and a lot of our joint observations in classrooms got focused on this concept of student learning production behaviors. And after the last round of observations I did with Tracy, I'd ask her if she'd join me on here. So Tracy, thank you for jumping on.
Hi, Steve. It is a pleasure to be talking with you today. I think I was back in a lot of the work that you had been doing in a previous district when you had been talking about student production behaviors and before you coined the term student production behavior and people were thinking behaviors. I think I even was thinking behaviors at first. And but in the work that we have done together, I've really come to learn and appreciate that term, student production behaviors. I think a lot of times when we go in a classroom as administrators, we're always focused on what the teacher is doing. As far as the way they set up a lesson, the whole framework that we use to evaluate teachers is set up on what the teacher is doing to initiate the learning. And the student production behaviors are really what is key, I believe, in having done this work with you for several years now. And you had said one time that student production behaviors were what kids do when they can't reach the outcome yet. And that has always stuck in my mind and really helped me to delineate what that exactly looks like and what that means. Because your goal always as an educator, facilitator, is to help students reach that outcome. But every kid is going to reach that outcome in a different way. And so what is that production behavior that that kid has to engage in to reach that outcome? And without those production behaviors, there's really no learning. So you and I have worked for several years in this work, and I just find it fascinating every time we work together. I know we started back first in a previous district with a lot of work around the same topic of looking at student production behaviors. Here in Manheim Central, we have really been working with you for 2 years. This is my third year here in the district. And the first year, we really needed to establish that coaching culture and really define what it looks like for a coach and principal to work together. And we started with our administrative team, really looking at student production behaviors. And this was new for all of them as well, because they were so used to going in and only focusing on what the teacher or facilitator was doing in the classroom and not on the student production behaviors at all.
How would you describe the impact on administrators? Because we had the opportunity to go with a couple of administrators at the same time, seeing the same thing, and then coming out and debriefing what it was we saw the students doing. And I've shared a lot how hard that is, the difference of being in the classroom and watching what one teacher is doing versus being in the classroom and watching what 23 students are doing.
I think it was eye-opening for administrators. And one of the things that I know in our work that you've always told us to look at is your kind of continuum of what students are doing during the lesson. So as you're looking at what are they, what's happening in the classroom, are they fearful at the highest end of the continuum, attention, comfort, or boredom? And you've talked to us about how that ideal learning spot really happens between attention and fear. And I think for many of our administrators, focusing on students and student production behaviors, whether it's the whole group and kind of getting, okay, what's the level of comfort, boredom, comfort, attention, or fear with the whole class, or small groups of students down to individual students, and really looking, is ideal learning occurring at, or is it really more in the bored and comfort area, or are we moving into attention and fear? What we've also talked a lot about as an administrative team is just, you know, we have really, really good teachers who are working really, really hard. But when you turn it and take your lens to that student production behavior, I think that has helped us as a culture to say, when we're doing this work and going into classrooms with you, that we're not focused on the teacher. We're really focused on what the student is doing so that we can get the most outcome, you know, behavior for learning. And you've always talked about those repetitions that a kid needs to engage in. And so, you know, if you're playing 5-on-5 basketball and you're only touching the ball 100 times and getting 30 shots versus 3-on-3, and then you're touching the ball 300 times and getting 100 shots. We really started to dissect that as an administrative team and think, okay, if we have this kid who needs to work on vocabulary or needs to work on writing, what are those critical production behaviors that that child needs to engage in to reach that outcome? And what we're seeing is sometimes and I can't say this in every room, but sometimes it is occurring where the student isn't getting production behavior repetitions. And maybe the facilitator or the teacher is doing more of the work. And so how can we increase that? That's the conversation that we've been having, which the first year, when we were just working as an admin team, we didn't involve a lot of teachers in this work that we're currently doing with you now. It was just our admin team would do walkthroughs with our coaches as well. And we really tried to establish the role of the coach last year and what the coaching cycle looks like. And so we did a lot of coaching, like conferences with you. And that was really powerful work along with looking at student production behaviors. And as an administrative team, we just felt it was critical that we get our educators, our teachers involved in this work so that they can start to look at production behaviors as well. And it has been a very powerful experience. I know in Mannheim Central, we did our first round of walkthroughs with you, and the teachers were telling me, I've never had the opportunity to be in another teacher's classroom. I've never gotten to do this. This has been so valuable. And even in my group, the last time you were here, one of the teachers facilitators said to me, I don't want to offend anybody, but this is the best professional development I've ever had. And I think she's been teaching almost close to 30 years. In all my 30 years, this is the best professional development that I've ever had, because we spent the day going in different classrooms and really focused on students and student production behaviors. And I think there's a lot of aha moments that people can then internalize and take to their own teaching to say, okay, what am I doing in my own room that as far as creating an environment where students are going to get those production behaviors that they need to advance in any skill.
I think if we hadn't had the opportunity to set the teachers up for the observation, their tendency would have been to be paying most of their attention to the teacher when they went into another classroom. So even when you can get teachers to visit each other's classrooms, their tendency is to watch what the teacher was doing. The chance that we had to spend an hour with folks before they started doing their observations and really get them zeroed in on what my task is here, I think it creates a chance to watch learners that I don't even get in my own classroom. Because my own classroom, my mind has to constantly be jumping ahead to interpreting what's happening and what I'm going to do next. And that opportunity to step back and watch all the kids and small groups of kids and individual kids and really begin to analyze the connectedness between what they saw the student doing and what impact that would have on the learning.
Oh, yeah, I say that was the hour of power. That's kind of how I phrase it. I think that set it up really nicely, because that's not been, you know, in education, we're often not focused on the teacher. When you take any administrative course, you know, it's focused on the teacher, not the students and not the learners. And so I think that's a real shift for folks, because they're always thinking when they go into a classroom that they're watching what the facilitator's doing instead of what the learners are doing. And I noticed that, you know, at first that was a big shift for folks who were in the different groups. But I think we set that up really nicely in that hour of power, I call it. And they were definitely understanding what production behaviors were. And what has been really interesting is there's been follow-up discussions. There's been some folks who have even reached out to some of the coaches and said, you know, I want to look at what I'm doing and try to create an environment that does allow for more production behaviors for students. And so we're really excited. We're going to continue doing these walkthroughs and doing this work on focusing on student production behaviors so that we can get more of our facilitators into classrooms. I think that's a really key aspect here, is that we want to create that culture where that, you know, we all are learners, we all are learning, and we all want to grow and get better. And it's not, you know, anything that's not for the learner. That it's really focused on just everybody growing and everybody getting better.
This question may push out there a little bit, but I'm wondering what impact you see a focus on the student learning behaviors having in curriculum work and in professional development, maybe even into the work that people are doing in PLCs.
I see that as critical work. As we continue to evolve in our curriculum, we're looking more at like learning progressions for students. And then what are those production behaviors that they need to engage in order to meet those outcomes in the curriculum? We're doing a lot of work right now around, revisions and looking at what are some of those, I'll call it the four C's, collaboration, critical thinking, creativity, and communication. And how are we, making sure that our learners are prepared for work and career, and what that looks like as far as those production behaviors as well. That was a lot of aha moments in some of the groups that we were working at in the last time, because they realize, okay, if it was early in the year, it was September, and if my goal really is collaboration and I'm working in a hybrid rotational instructional model, how am I setting that up? What production behaviors do I need to see, and how am I going to set that up for success? And one example that comes to mind is in the collaboration station. A lot of times when you give students a worksheet or some kind of physical paper of any sort, packet or whatever it may be, their focus becomes more on completing the task instead of the collaboration. And so that was an interesting discussion and interesting to see, because that was the case sometimes when we were doing observations, that as soon as the students, the learners received that paper or that worksheet or that packet, that became their focus instead of the collaboration skills that the facilitator, the teacher truly wanted them to develop. And so that's been interesting to look at. What is it that we need to do, and how do we set up the environment in order to make the collaboration the focus and not the worksheet the focus, so that they have the opportunities to truly collaborate.
So the complexity of teaching, the complexity of teaching really, really centers there. When you think there's a certain set of production behaviors I need for the science to get internalized, and another set I need for the critical thinking work to be done, and another set that we're working on this collaboratively, it is complex. And I think the next step we'll get to is creating the opportunity to be coaching the kids on the production behaviors. I was just designing an activity with my wife this morning. She was going to have kids in groups of three, where two students are solving a collaborative problem, and the third student is observing their collaborative problem-solving behaviors, and then coaching them and giving them feedback on the behaviors that the two students used. And that's the ultimate of empowerment when we get to the point that the kids are clear on what the learning production behaviors are.
Absolutely. That would be awesome. And I think also this is helping to create a culture for us where, it's okay to go into other people's classrooms. Since that hasn't been the culture, this is a nice way to focus on the student production behaviors versus what the teacher is doing. And then ultimately, I love that idea of having the learners actually coaching each other on what those student production behaviors are. That's the ultimate I see of learning. That would be awesome.
Well, Tracy, it's been great learning with you over the last couple of years, and I look forward to the next time we're in classrooms together. If it's okay with you, I'd like to post your email address in the copy for the podcast. So if people have further questions about how you are setting up the observations and debriefing with the teachers, they can get in touch with you directly.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.